Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. Have you noticed how fast time seems to be moving? The Bible says we have to understand the signs of the time. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Let's listen as Pastor Joel concludes last week's message. It's about that time.
This word that we give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be plain. Even if we should be poor, even if we should be beat up, shot up, knocked down, locked down, lied to, spied on, lied on, whatever the case may be, we still stand as ministers of God in all things. When your family don't understand you, you still got to stand for the word of God, that our ministry may not be blamed. You know, when I became a Christian, my Muslim brothers and sisters in Chicago, my family, wouldn't open the door. I told you all that. The cat was sitting in the window when I rang the doorbell. The cat came to the door, but he couldn't open it. And he would just look back at them like, meow, it's Joel. And nobody opened the door. And we prayed and prayed and prayed for my family. Guess what? When we went back this time to Chicago, they opened the door. And they, after a couple of days, but they opened the door. And the cat was there. He was laying atop on the couch, the same cat. When I came and sat down, he said, okay, my work is done. And he went on in the back. You know how cats do. He just went on down into the basement. But we tried not to harm any hardness of heart, didn't we? Okay. They got toys for the kids, and they brought out stuff, and we had a grand old time. They even gave me back some pictures that they had taken out of my album years ago. I got my pictures back from when we were kids. Ministers of God, we represent God. And that also means that we can't afford to cause others to stumble, you all. This is important. People see you going to the clubs and drinking, dancing all wild. How can you tell them to come to church? How are they going to follow you out the club into the church? How can you be at the gambling house on Friday and Saturday and then lead them to the church on Sunday? They're going to say, but wasn't that you talking about up 7-Eleven? And oh, shake them dice, huh? Wasn't that you telling me to blow on those dice and now you on the worship team? Blackjack, what's your name? How? We can't afford to cause people to stumble. We can no longer put off what Jesus has put out, which is the word. We can't put this thing out. We're to put it on. We're to take on the cause of Christ, the complete word of God, right? Not some of it. There are some pastors preaching a watered down partial gospel. Now, I have to tell you that, okay? It's partially true, but there are some things missing. And those things that are missing will lead people to hell. Absolutely true. I heard a pastor when we were in Illinois just a few the last week. We went to one church or two? I've forgotten. But one was a church service, one was a funeral. But we went to a church service, and I heard a pastor tell his congregation, he said, we all need work. That's true. That part's true. He said, all of us need work in something. All right? He said, so don't worry. Nobody can judge you. He said, I'm telling you, nobody can judge you. Don't let anybody judge you. We all need work. I need a lot of work. You all hear me say that all the time. We need work. So let nobody judge you. But is that it? You know, when they said that, when he said that, people got up and clapped. They gave him a standing ovation for saying that one thing, and that was it. That's all they wanted to hear. But he failed to tell them that, yes, you can be judged. You just have to be judged righteously. The person that's judging you must judge you righteously. If they're doing the same thing you're doing, they can't judge you because you all need to be judged on that point. But we are to judge one another. He forgot to tell them that you can be judged righteously, as it says in Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5, right? Judge not that you not be judged. So you have to judge righteously. And he failed to mention that in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 to 5, it says not only are Christians supposed to judge one another, it said, but guess what? You're going to judge angels, okay? Themselves, okay? And you're going to judge the world. So, of course, is there not a wise man or woman among you that is able to come and judge between his brothers? That's what the word says. But see, when we leave these things out, we leave people to continue in their sins. And I don't think that's done accidentally. You want to pack the house? Tell people what they want to hear. Yeah, that's right. Sister Dora says, 2 Timothy 4, 2 to 5 talks about that, the itching ears, right? Judging the world. Okay, we can judge. But when we get caught, and we talked about being in the sway of the wicked one, we tend to speak some things and not speak other things because we want numbers or because we want the lure of a mega church or whatever. But Jesus says, take heed, be watchful and vigilant and know these signs when you see them. Okay, a lot of pastors now are doing, they must be OJ fans because they giving the people what they want, you know. They said, you got to give the people, you know. Give the people what they want. Don't you know? That might as well be what they were doing. Giving the people what they want to hear. But what they're really giving people is a one-way ticket to hell. Uh-huh. 2 Timothy talks about it, 4, 3, and 4. It says, the time will come. Huh? When they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, and because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, they'll turn away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They'll even give you a standing applause if you give them a standing ovation, if you give them what they want to hear. Now, this text ends up by saying, but we are to fulfill our ministry. We're to fulfill the ministry. That means to the complete ministry. That's what we're supposed to do. Because time is passing, you all. It's about that time. It's about that time. We can't afford to play with this thing anymore. I'm going to tell you, when I looked around that one church that was in, I'm going to tell you all, I'm going to share this with you. I saw people very comfortable in their own skin. I saw people dressed. I saw young ladies that, when they sat down, you couldn't look at them. You better find somewhere else to put your eyeballs. You better look somewhere else. This is what was going on in the church. This church. You couldn't even look that way. I couldn't look. Don't you dare look at that table. You better look the other way. That's how it was. Then I saw some people that were obviously confused, and they were comfortable in their skin. I saw young females dressed like men. Walk like men, talk like men, hats on backwards like men, like this, walk like this. Hey, what's up? Walk like, I had to look two or three times to see what's going on. And this is during the service, all right? I didn't know who was a she and who was a he in some cases. Now, I'm trying to make a point. I saw people ministering on the platform. I couldn't tell. One was either transgender or transvestite. I couldn't tell the difference. That's your minister. I noticed all these things. And what I really noticed is that everybody was quite comfortable with it. And now, I'm certainly not saying that I want anybody to be uncomfortable. I don't, okay? But what I am saying that God has said that his sheep will hear his voice and we follow him. It says that in John 10:27. That means to follow his word. That means to follow the true word of God, not the false word. And let's face it, saints, the Bible says the word convicts us, right? The word convicts us of sin and leads to repentance. Is that right? Okay. So if it leads to repentance, that means that we're not going to continue to practice that sin. But it has to do with the message we're getting. So what does the Bible tell us in Matthew 6:33? It says that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, huh, then all these things will be added to it. What does it say in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, huh, pray and seek my face, and then turn from their wicked way. See, we've got to do something. It said, first of all, we got to come in low. We got to come in humble. We got to know that we're in the house of God. Somebody got to teach people that you're in the house of God. You can't act like you're on the block in God's house. You can't just keep your hat on if you're a male or something and just come in here and sashay up in here and interrupt things and flirt and do all other things. This is God's house right here. Somebody's got to teach people, see, the right way to go, okay? With humility. That's what I'm saying. Anything that would lead you to believe that people were being moved, you've got to turn from your old ways and put down that old man and pick up the new man. That's what it means. Sure, all are welcome to come to the church, but we're supposed to come to be changed. And the leaders have to impart that word. That's the true word of God. And if you impart the true word of God, people are going to be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're either going to get with it or they're going to get on the road, one way or the other. But if you're putting out the true word of God, those who stick will be blessed. He said, those who do the work, you are going to be blessed. It means to be changed. And the shepherds have to impart that message in the people. You can't just get up there and say, you all right, just keep doing what you're doing. Nobody can judge you, not even me, the pastor. God's not going to judge. Just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. Just keep doing what you're doing. He'll turn it around. Of course you're going to come to church like it's a party. Of course, I would too, wouldn't you? Somebody say, you can stay where you are. You don't have to eat right. No more rabbit food, no more salad. Eat everything you want. You'll be all right. Don't worry, you got diabetes. The Lord will fix you. Eat everything you want. Donuts, chocolate every day. Get a rush on the chocolate. Just let it come on. I'll take all the drugs you want. God's got you. God's got you. Keep on lying. Keep on cursing. Do what you want. Keep hopping from bed to bed to bed till you find the right one. Go ahead. Keep going. Is that what the word says? The word says we come to be changed. We don't come to stay the same. And the shepherds, the overseers have to put that word out. But I'm sorry, I didn't see that. So I'm not surprised at what I saw because I heard the message. I heard the message. That's how I know, you see. So there was another pastor that we saw. And maybe that's why the Lord had us on this road trip. He said, too, just have fun with your life. He said, go out and do what you want to do. He said, do what you want to do. Have fun. God's got you. That's what he said. That's what he said. He said, do what you want to do. Have fun. As if to say, this is your best life yet. Just do it. This is it. There is no tomorrow. Do what you want. These are the words that are coming out of pastors' mouths. Now, I have to say, that's a different gospel, as Paul was saying. That's a different gospel. God's word doesn't say that. It says we're supposed to be changed. All right? Have fun. Do what you want to do. That type of thing. Well, that's what he told them. Go where you will. I kid you not. This is what he said. So, and these are things that are coming out of the pulpit. But God is saying, and when we talked to the Lord, the Lord said, that's deception. There's nothing but the devil, you all. The devil is a liar. You got to know this word. If you got to know what you can and can't do, you got to know how you're supposed to behave when it comes from the word. Look at what the Bible says in 1 John. Let's go to 1 John, Pastor. Take us to 1 John 3. Verses 2 and 3. Would you read that for us, please?
1 John 3, verses 2 and 3 tells us, mm-hmm. Beloved, now we are children of God, mm-hmm. and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Mm-hmm. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure.
That takes care of that. I don't know how else we can slice it. You're children of God. You don't even know all of what you're going to be, but you know that when we see him, it's going to be revealed. We shall be like him. It says if we have this hope in him, we ought to purify ourselves just as he is pure. That means you got some work to do. We can't stay the way we are. We can't just say, you're not supposed to tell people just stay as you are. God's got you. You got till the second coming of Jesus. You got till the rapture comes. You can't tell people that. We don't even know the time. We don't know the hour. That's what we started off with saying. You don't know that. No one knows the day or the time. We aim to be purified. Amen. And look at this one. Let's go to 1 Peter. Pastor, I hate for you to keep getting up and down, but it's good exercise. But 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. Not that you need it, but I'm just saying. I worry
no,
about
the
you
Lord
later.
Has prepared me.
Okay.
Thank you.
1 Peter 1:13-16.
Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 1:13-16 tells us,
mm-hmm.
let me adjust my eyes. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
Oh, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. So it tells you right there, it starts in the mind, right? Satan drops something in your head. You've got to, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, your loin area, your hip area, that's where the power comes from. Whether it's in throwing a punch or hitting a baseball or making a tackle, the power comes from in here. So God is giving you the word to gird up the loins of your mind. Tighten that thing up. Get your mind right. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the revelation that is to be revealed at the coming of Jesus Christ, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, not as in your former ignorance. That's what it said. Before you knew him, we didn't know. I was so ignorant before I knew the Lord. But it says, not in your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so you also be holy in what kind of conduct? All your conduct, not sometimes, but all the time. That's what we're shooting for. Now, I admit this doesn't happen overnight, but that's what we're supposed to be working on. That's what we're supposed to tell people, not to stay as you are, just wait, don't do nothing. You got to train. How do you get better if you don't work out somehow? If you want to pass a test, you got to study that test. If you want to get a job, you got to know the general orders and things like that, right? So it's the same with the word of God. You got to be working on it, and that's what he's saying right here. This is what we have to do. This is the gospel of Christ. But time is running out. Many people have died and are dying prematurely and have not followed the Lord. Did you know that? Where do you think they are now? Probably. A lot of them are. The Lord told both of us this. He said the other day, the devil will get you to believing that everyone has a chance to repent on their deathbed. That's what he said. He said, Joel, he said, the devil will have people believe that everyone gets to repent on their deathbed. He said, that's not so. Somebody said, really? See, that's not so. We take some things for granted. Mm-hmm. How many times have you been to a funeral? And people say, so-and-so is in, well, he's in a better place. That's not always so. Do you really know how so-and-so lived? Do you know the skeletons that was in his or her closet? God knows. Do you know the things that they didn't repent of? There was a man who argued with his wife, and he died, and they brought him back. I think he was African, was he? How long was he dead? 30 minutes? I don't know if it was that long. What was a couple of sheep? A week, huh? Anyway, he found himself in hell. Fire all around him. All he did was have an argument with his wife. He left the house and said, that woman, I can't stand her, and got into his car. Now, I've been married almost 50 years. We've been together, what, 46 years? We've been married? You know how many times I left the house and said, thank God, and started driving away? I'm sure she does the same thing when the girls come over when they talk on the prayer line. I know y'all talk about me, but that's all right. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm saying that if we die in our sins, we can't take it for granted, you all. This is serious business, and the Lord told us that. Some people don't get a chance to repent on their deathbed. Look at these little babies that are dying. Look at people that die in aircraft crashes. You know, that type of thing. I saw a shooting, and I saw a lady saying, Hail Mary, Mother of Grace or something, and people were shooting people down, and what if she got shot? You think the Lord heard that prayer where she's praying to a deity and not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Even though she thought she was praying to God, who knows what happened, right? Where is she now? You see, this is important. That's why we have to preach this gospel. That's why we have to teach this gospel. That's why we have to tell somebody the true word of God. Okay? Many people have perished for all eternity. Yet, many people are content to meander through life as if this is all there is. They're, like I said, as if it's their best life yet. And this is what the Lord was explaining to us. But the devil is a liar. Now let's go to here. Let's go to, because I know we run out of time. Let's go to Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9. Read that for us, Pastor, please.
Galatians 6, verse 7 and 9 tells us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Mm-mm. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Mm-hmm. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Mm-hmm. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Don't lose heart. Thank you, Pastor. Don't lose heart. You know, I thank God for what God has taught and what he's given us, because this is good. What is good is to give people the good news, right, with an urgency. I have to say, Pastor Annalisa, this little soldier here, oh, Soldier Butterfly here is a fighter, especially when it comes to witnessing the people. She is seeking for a way in, just like a boxer. She's sizing them up, trying to see where she can get in. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I know who you belong to. She'll do that. Before you know it, you see them saying, oh, yeah. Do you know the Lord? And they'll say, yeah. Oh, praise God then. She'll give him a high five. She's like a little fighter, always trying to get in. Then she'll move to somebody else. Do you know the Lord? And the Lord said, this is what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to speak that word to people. Ask the Lord to give you an opening. Minister Dora does the same thing. They know how to get in, you know. They just know how to get inside you, you know. They can crowd your space and you feel comfortable with it. When I tell somebody, you know the Lord, they say, do you know the Lord? They're back, you know. But you got to be a fighter sometimes and know how to get in. You see what I mean? And so that opening, so they can speak God's word and souls can be saved. I mean, we went to sleep, we woke up, we witnessed the people all the way across the Midwest. Restaurants, on the plane. Seemed like the Lord just kept sending people. He just kept sending people. Family members, hearts being received, people praying, holding hands. So this is what he wants us to do. We are ambassadors of Christ. So as I begin to close, let me give you another point to ponder. Consider the gifts that God has given you, would you please? Are you operating with a sense of urgency in the gifting that God has given you? Okay, some people are not here, and I wish they were, because they need to hear this, okay? We have people with gifts. Are you operating in the gifts? He wants to use the gifts for the Great Commission. It's vitally important. God has given us various gifts and talents, and that's another thing about sharing the gospel, about the Great Commission. If we're sitting on those gifts, there's something wrong, all right? If we're sitting on the gifts, and some of us use the gifts when we feel like it, instead of when the Holy Spirit feels like you should use it, okay? We're not supposed to do that. Remember, God said to obey is better than sacrifice in 1 Samuel 15:22. The Lord wants us witnessing by spreading his word. But guess what, saints? That also means that he wants us making the effort to come to church. He wants you to go to the church where he sent you, okay? Not to be a spiritual nomad, just showing up where you want to show up. One body. One Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism, okay? One God and Father who is above all and through all and in you all. He has a plan for each one of us. That means we're supposed to make the continuous effort to please God and to show up for service, show up for Bible study, and not look for excuses.
Amen. The Bible instructs us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. If you're in need of prayer or encouragement, we're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're thankful you tuned in today. Listen, if you have a desire and the means to sow a financial seed, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Join us for Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. Thanks for tuning into Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the conclusion of It's About That Time with Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is-